Like you just heard, I just got back from being a part of one of our student team that was in Southeast Asia, and it's my joy to just share with you a little bit about that trip and some of the things that God did, and I'm really praying and hoping that God stirs your heart. And then you're going to hear a little bit more at the end of the service. This week, our middle school camp and our children's camp, they leave on Thursday. They'll be gone Thursday through Monday of this next week. Just experiencing the community of this faith family, the love of Jesus through worship. We're going to spend some time in the Word. We're going to have a lot of fun. And so if you're a parent of a 5th, 6th, or 7th grader or 8th grader, if you're a 5th, 6th, 7th, or 8th grader, if you're a kid in 2nd through 3rd grade, and you want to join us at Highland Lakes, come on. Today is kind of like the drop-down deadline date to sign up, but come talk to me or Kristen or Drew or one of our interns, and we'd love to get you signed up to be a part of camp this next week. And just a final word about that. Again, you'll hear a little bit more about this, but we have about 10 or so students that are needing some financial assistance, and so if you want to partner with us, to help us get those kids there. You don't have to actually have a kid in your home. You know, you can just partner with us and help us send a kid to middle school camp. We will, of course, gladly take your money for that. Cool? A couple of weeks ago, Pastor Kirk showed you this image. And he showed you this image because we are an ascending church. As a faith family, a good portion of what we take in, we use to take the name of Jesus to some of the furthest places on this planet. And so as you can see up here, we had a team earlier this summer in Costa Rica. We had two different versions of a team in Rwanda. And then we had two teams, the team that just got back. And we currently have a team in that region of the world in Southeast Asia, ministering in a closed country. And so we're going to be praying for them today. But I'm super excited to share with you what God did on our particular team in and through that. And I just want to brag on Jesus in and through our student ministry. They're going to be, I think, over 30 different waves of team, not just from Crossbridge, obviously, but from churches all over the United States that will be going through this particular region of the world. And we have about 5 or 6 former Ablaze students. They're Ablaze grads that are on the ground as a part of the long-term team there in Southeast Asia, and that makes a youth pastor's heart proud to see what God's doing in and through our students. That's right. Hey, come on. I haven't preached in 8 weeks, so you need to help me out. Yep. And so I just want you to hang on with me this morning because I've got some stories to tell, and I might be all over the place this morning, but I just want to encourage you, as the Lord speaks to you, you might jot some things down because as you'll see in a minute, I've got about 15 points. And you can just take a deep breath because they're all just little sermon vignettes, if you will. I'm super excited about what the Lord put on my heart in and through Acts chapter 19. So if you brought your Bible with you this morning, you can find that place and hold it there. We're going to read about 10 or so verses here in a second. But also as your student and family pastor, I just wanted to encourage moms and dads in the room to be people that use your Bible. It can be an electronic copy of the Bible. I just remember, and I was thinking about that this week, I remember lying in bed, but knowing when the light went on in our living room, it was right next to my room, my dad was spending time with Jesus. My dad was really a strong introvert, and there were some things that he did really well and some things that he didn't do so well, but I always remember him spending time with Jesus. I can close my eyes and see a picture of him sitting on our couch with his Bible open. And so if you're a parent and you don't really know where to start discipling your children, we want to partner together to help you with that, but I just can offer for free today, just let your students see you with your Bible. Let your children see you with the Bible. It'll go a long, long way. So let's jump into the Word together. Acts chapter 19, starting in verse 11, we read this about what God's doing in that region of the world. Luke tells us that God was doing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons that had touched his skin were carried away to the sick, and their diseases left them, and the evil spirits came out of him. I want to be a part of a church like that. We need to remember that is the God whom we love and serve. Check out verse 13. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists, they undertook to evoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those evil spirits, saying, watch this, I adjure you by the name, by Jesus whom Paul proclaims. Catch that? Look at it. Analyze it. Look at it closely. He's just saying, hey, demon, please would you leave, not by the power of Jesus, but by the name of Jesus whom Paul proclaims. So these guys were just kind of using a formula that they saw in the Apostle Paul's life. They wanted in on that action. So I want you to watch what happens next. If you didn't read the story this week, it's actually quite funny. Check out verses 14 and 15. So these seven sons of the Jewish high priest named Sceva, they were doing this. They were adjuring these evil spirits. And one of the evil spirits answered them back, all right? So bad news number one, the evil spirit's talking to them back, and it says, Jesus I know, and Paul I recognize, but who are you? And so if you're taking notes this morning, maybe you jot some things down in the margins of your Bible, you might want to write, biblical epic fail. Right? If the demon talks back to you and doesn't really recognize you, says, hey, Jesus I know, Paul I know about, but who are you? You have just walked into an epic fail. All right? And I want you to remember this question, but who are you? Because I've been praying all week that it would kind of be the framework for much of the for how I would wrap many of the stories that I'm going to tell you today. Not necessarily that you would have an evil demonic spirit asking you back, but that you would be able to let your mind and your heart settle around this idea that our identity is important. And who Jesus says we are is important. And if we're going to have our affections stirred by Jesus this morning, then we got to understand who we are. But let's check out how the story ends. In verse 19 or verse 16, we find out that the man whom the evil spirit was in, he leapt on them. He mastered all of them and overpowered them so that they fled out of the house and they were naked and wounded. Right? So just encouragement, read the Bible slowly because you can't make this stuff up, right? It and I know we're in mixed company today. We have our children, so I'm not going to camp out too long here so you didn't get any awkward questions at lunch. But check this out. Here's just a general rule, not advocating for fighting, but if you start a fight with your pants on and you leave that fight without pants, you lost. There's no one that's going to advocate for you that tells you that you won the fight. In fact, the story that's told about the fight is not going to be a good one, right? And so you might see or think, begin to think, thank you for that laugh, that was awesome. You might begin to think that this is going to be a situation that's going to set the church back. But that's not what happens. Check out how Luke finishes the story, verse 17. And this became known to all the residents of Ephesus, both Jews and Greeks. And fear, a holy fear, fell upon them all. And the name of the Lord Jesus was extolled. It was glorified. Also, many of those who were now believers, they came confessing and divulging their practices. So they're experiencing true repentance. Check out verse 19. And the number of those who had practiced magic arts brought their books together. And they burned them in the sight of all. And they counted up the value of them. And it came to about 50,000 pieces of silver. So we see the evidence of true repentance. They're turning from their ways. But don't miss this. Don't miss verse 20. So the word of the Lord continued to increase and prevail mightily. You just see a picture of the kingdom of Jesus kind of flexing its muscles over the church at Ephesus. What was meant to be something that would set the church back, God used to be a demonstration of his power. And he did it so that people then would know, and he did it so that today we would know when we read the story that nothing can stop God's purpose. So would you say that to your neighbor? Nothing can stop God's purpose. To your other neighbor, say, nothing can stop God's purpose. Hey, moms and dads, we need to see children see us actively participating in church. Say to somebody really loud, nothing can stop God's purpose. Thank you. You see, I think the real tragedy of Acts 19 isn't that some guys failed to cast out a demon. That's not what they did wrong. I think what the real tragedy is here, and I think it might be similar for some of us today in the room, and particularly in the church in general throughout the world, is that these seven sons of Sceva, they wanted a demonstration of the power of the kingdom of Jesus without a daily relationship with Jesus. If you search the text, we don't read anything about their understanding that Jesus was their Lord and Savior. No, it's quite opposite. They memorized some facts about Jesus. They saw and they understood a formula or a method that Paul used to display the power of Jesus. But what was missing was a daily personal relationship with Jesus. What was missing was quality time. We might describe it in our setting, in our faith family, as even listening prayer. God, is this something that you want me to engage in? Many of you have heard me say time after time on this stage that I love my wife. There isn't anybody on this face of this earth that I wouldn't rather spend a moment with if I got to choose a moment. But I wonder if you didn't know that about me and you bumped into me on the street tomorrow and you heard me say to somebody or maybe even to you, you know what, I love my wife. I love her brown eyes. I love her laugh. I love the way that she smells. I love these facts about her, these things about her. But man, I can't stand to spend time with her. Maybe I'm annoyed. Maybe I'm confused. Maybe I tell you a story about how the last time we tried to spend together, it wasn't really even quality time. And my fear is that for some of us, as we pursue the heart of God for us, as we try to step into believing the fact that nothing really can stop His purpose, maybe we get led astray by our the lack of intimacy with Jesus, such that it might be true of us. Boy, I know Him. I know Him as my Lord and Savior. I'm glad I'm going to heaven, but I don't have to spend quality time with Him. I don't have to spend deep, meaningful time with Jesus. I don't have to listen for His voice. And like I told you today, I just want to tell you 15 quick stories. Maybe you could see them as small mini sermons. And I don't want you to listen today to try to master all of the content. I'm really praying that you might just listen to the voice of the Lord on your own. And there might be a word that I ask you to write down. Maybe you only write down one word, that you just might listen. And I'm going to pray in a second, and we're all going to ask the Holy Spirit to be our filter. Because I've just been asking the Lord all week long that you might be able to grab a hold of something that would stir your affections for Jesus, so that when you walk out that door in a minute, you're more in love with Jesus than when you came in. So this week, when you come up against something, that your love for Jesus is the place and the source that causes you to stare into a situation and go, you know what, I have faith that He is the one who will cause me to overcome. And so would you pray with me? Would you just close your eyes? That might be helpful if you just held out your hands and you just ask the Lord to speak to you today. Ask the Holy Spirit to turn your filter on. Not that you'd filter something out, but that you might be able to grab a hold of what the Lord wants to say to you. Because I got a lot of stories to tell. And they're amazing. But I'm praying along with you that Jesus would stir our affection for Him. And if you would you pray for me? That you would, the Lord would just speak and He would calm me down so we don't speak too fast, and just help me share these stories with you. Jesus, I thank you that you allow us to call you the King of our hearts. You died on the cross and you won a victory over death and sin so that we'd be reconciled to you. We call you Father and Daddy, that we could trust your unstoppable purpose and plan for our lives. We could step into it with boldness. And I pray that you'd use these stories of what you're doing in Southeast Asia to stir our affection so that we leave this place more in love with you. In Jesus' name we pray and believe.
Amen.
So right from the start, I just got to tell you that God was at work in and through our team. Not pictured here is Lex Lopez, because I didn't have a picture of Lex on the plane, and so I just needed you to picture a plane for a second, and the cabin, and about half halfway through our trip from Dallas to the East. The lights are off. Everybody's either got headphones on, they're trying to sleep, but it was like what you would see on a movie. One of the flight attendants or the stewards came over the intercom and asked for any medical personnel that might be on the plane because there was a situation that needed to be attended to. And my wife, who's seated next to me, she told me the story. I was asleep. She notices that nobody is moving around, and so she stands up. Walks over to where Lex is seated, and Lex had his earphones on, and she taps him on the shoulder, and she tells him the story, and Lex goes to the back of the plane, and he finds out that there's a woman who is what looks like is about to go into cardiac arrest. And Lex is a third-year pharmacy student, doctor of pharmacy student, and he begins to help them process what might help her. Tells him about some medication that they might have in their first aid kit, and tells her, you know, she's going to need something to raise her blood sugar. And in the end, everybody that's looking around at the situation that was there, like looking at Lex, going, "Wow, you saved this woman's life." That's what the people on the plane would say. And we were like, "Wow, thank you God for putting Lex on this plane to do that." And that was awesome, right? That was awesome, right? And it gets better because. 2 weeks previous to that moment, Lex didn't have a ticket to be on that plane. If Lex were here today, he can't be with us, but if he were here today, he'd tell you he had 2 weeks previous to that moment, he had not yet responded to God's call to join this team. In fact, Lex would describe it this way. He'd say, "Hey, I was saying no to God. I was giving God a list of excuses as to why I can't be on that team." Yet God had something different planned. Not only for that lady, but for Lex Lopez and for our team. And so as Jesus might stir your affections, as you might hear some stories that are believable and some that stretch your mind and your heart to believe, maybe today somebody in the room just needs to write down the two words, divine appointment. Because maybe for somebody today, you're needing to believe that they're real, or you're needing to step in to one out of obedience, or you're needing to trust the Lord has one for you. But I think that we see divine appointments all throughout the book of Acts, and we got to live in one right from the start. Share this picture with you. This is kind of one of our daily occurrences. We just wake up and spend some time with Jesus, tell you more about that in a minute, and then we just walk out into neighborhoods, sometimes onto the beach, just walk out across the city, and just try to engage people. Just talk to them. Try to walk up to somebody, see if they'd share their story with us, ask for permission to share our story, ask for permission to be able to pray over them if there were any needs that they had in life that we could pray for them for. We would often ask them if we could share a story about Jesus with them. But I want you to hear this morning. I struggled, labored over this specific language for you this morning. Right from the start, we were immediately challenged. And so right from the start, as I tell the story, I think you, all of us have to be immediately realize that we were immediately, our Western mindset, excuse me, sorry about that, was immediately challenged. And so this morning, I just have to say it this way. If you have a personal hatred for people, it will be hard for your affections for Jesus to be stirred. If you have a personal hatred for any group of people or any individual, it's gonna be hard for you to be constantly and consistently in love with Jesus. Man, I struggled with that, how to say that to y'all this week. I got more stories to tell, but if I fast forward to the end of our 2 weeks overseas, we were in a room, and each of us were telling stories about what we think God did in our life. It was called a debrief, and one of the students in the middle of the debrief just breaks down weeping, ugly cry, sharing with us this fact. He said, "You know what? Growing up in America, I've had a hatred for cousins all of my life." That's what we called these people. People that we were trying to love on. We were encouraged to call them cousins. Yet I had a hatred for cousins all of my life. And God broke him of that. Many others would say, "You know what, I had similar feelings that way." You know, I don't know your story. I don't know what brought you to church today. But I am praying that God would stir your affections for him and for people through the power, the displays of power that we all got to experience and that you got to be a part of because you give to this church and that I could share with you. Maybe somebody in the room, God's saying, "You know what? You need to lay down some hatred for either a group of people or a person." I know my neighbor keeps putting something in my front yard and he won't keep not putting it there. That makes me mad. I gotta realize you don't know Jesus. I need to lay aside some things. And so as you allow Jesus to stir your affections this morning, I think somebody in the room might need to write down the word hatred or hate and ask God to speak into that. Another story I want to share with you is a little bit about our daily schedule. It's a picture of our team, and we were all gathered in the morning here on this front porch of this house. And you know, different than some trips that you might have been on, it's just a different trip. We gathered each morning not to rush out the door and go do a work project. We actually would gather each morning for what we would call team time. And there was some personal time that each one of us would spend with Jesus, and then we'd spend some corporate time together. Because we were in a closed country, really only twice could we gather in a setting where we could corporately worship. That means using songs. So many times we would just sit together in a circle like that and look at the scriptures together and ask the Lord what we were hearing God say to us for our day. Maybe an encouragement that he has for somebody else, for somebody in the circle. Maybe a place even in the city that we should go because we felt like God was talking to us or speaking to us through his word. We just listen to each other, or listen to Jesus most importantly, and then listen to each other. And it was just awesome. And so I think the second thing that you might need to be moved by today is that we weren't people of action. We were actually slowed down our day on purpose so that we could be people of community and people of the word. And just allow Jesus to speak to us. And I just have to tell you, as a proud, proud daddy of one of the girls that was on the trip, my girl was there, and you know, I'm both her father and her youth pastor. And over the last few years, we've often shared a moment where she would say to me, "Dad, I want to hear Jesus the way that you hear Jesus. I want to hear Jesus the way that I hear see people in our life group, in our family life group, or at our church." I'd take her to the word and I'd show her how she was obediently following him, but she'd just say, "God," or she'd just say, "Daddy, I think there's more." And so when we were on this trip and in a circle just like that, God for the first time broke through for her, broke through that barrier for her, and she got to see a picture that the Lord gave her. And it was really, really important to a place that they went on that day. I'm gonna share that story with you in a second. And so today, as you just allow Jesus to stir your affections for him, maybe you need to write down the word presence. Because I think God's challenging you today, maybe somebody in the room, to let your heart specifically be stirred through not only biblical community, but also your commitment to privately spending time with Jesus. It makes sense that you're not going to feel close to him. It makes sense that you're not going to live and walk in the obedience and the boldness that he has for you if you're never spending any time with him. Another picture I wanted you to see is this one. That's actually my oldest daughter, Anna, and she's holding a baby. And there's 100 different pictures I probably could have shown you of several different teenage girls that were on our team. I just happened to use the ones that were on my phone. And so that's a picture of Anna holding a baby. And it might be helpful for you to realize that as we would walk the village and the neighborhoods, you kind of almost sometimes feel like a rock star. People would just literally walk up to you and hand you their baby because they would see a white face maybe, and they would want that person to hold their baby. And as you can imagine, you can't really share the gospel effectively with a baby. There's not a lot of questions that any one of our team members could ask the baby, "Hey, how could we pray for you?" So none of the evangelistic tools that we were trained in to use could we really use in ministering moments like this. And so one of the ways in which we were challenged to walk in and be obedient to the Lord was to learn to pray generational changing prayers. Do you understand that? We would hold these babies and ask the father to break the curse of Islam. Ask the father to do something special maybe in this child's life that would cause the direction of the family to be changed forever. I think there's a word for a mom or a dad in this room this morning. As you pray for your own children, don't let it stop there. As you disciple your own children, learn to pray generational changing prayers. Pray for your grandchildren. Pray for your great-grandchildren. Pray for your children's great-great-grandchildren. God would continue to use your children to go to the furthest places on the planet and tell other people about Jesus. Because it's not just about the here and the now. And so this morning, maybe just somebody just floating it out there as you allow Jesus to stir your affections, you might need to write down those words, generational prayers. Really, kind of amazing thing about the week is that nobody died. And not because it was a security risk, but because we learned obedience in the simple ways in which we love people. the long-term missionaries that are there would share with us that as we would love on people, we'd often be challenged to walk into homes or to gather on a porch with some people, and we would be served food like kings. And that meal may not look to you like a meal that would be served to kings, but it is, because it's more food than these people would have for probably about a week. And yet they would, out of the sacrificial love for people that they don't know, would invite you into their home and serve you a meal. And we would be asked to eat anything that was in front of us. And so, you know what, I've led a number of teams like this, not only of students, but of adults. And some of you may have been on a team with me, and you may have heard me say to you, do not eat some things that look like this, because you'll get sick, and then you'll be in the hotel room the entire time. But we were challenged to be obedient and to love people in simple ways. And the Lord protected us from some things. I think that's no small miracle. There were a few people that got sick, but no small miracle. And we just learned to obey God in simple ways. And this morning, if you find yourself far and distant from Jesus in your walk with him, it feels like it's growing stale. Maybe you've been asking him about something for a long time. Maybe you just need to return and do the last thing you heard Jesus say do. As he stirs the affections of your heart, maybe somebody needs to write down the word obedience. Or the word love. Another thing that we learned to do was trust Jesus with our boldness. I can't show you this guy's face because I had the awesome, awesome opportunity to be able to share a little bit about who Jesus is with him and hand him off to the local missionaries that were there as a person of peace. But I got to have a taxi ride with him one day, and I jumped in the cab, and I was super excited about the opportunity to be able to share with people. But I quickly discovered he spoke absolutely no English. And I knew very little of his native tongue. I'm looking at a sheet that has little phrases for me, and I'm trying to say some things, and I'll say something to him, and he'll just smile at me, and then he'd say a long string of whatever his language was, and I'm like, yeah, I don't see that anywhere on the sheet. I can't make that out, right? And so that kind of just quelched or brought our relationship to a screeching halt, and for the next few minutes we just like smile at each other. Because that's all we could do. And then I remembered that I had downloaded Google Translate onto my phone. And kind of one of the first days that we were there. And so I got it out. And I was typing him some different questions. And then I would hit the play button. And his face just lit up as we got to have this conversation over Google Translate. And then he would say something back. And I'd hit the button. And my phone would record it. And then it would type it out in English. It was just really awesome. If you've never used Google Translate, then go use it. It was really, really cool. But I wanted to share that story with you because what I wanted you to realize is that God has equipped every one of us with a tool. It may not be Google Translate. More than likely, it's going to be your personality. Or God's equipped you with something about you, where you live, where you work. There's something about you that is a tool in your life that God has perfectly designed to use by his power with boldness to share the gospel. But yet we just sit back sometimes. Wonder why, like I did today, why there's so many people that will never come in the doors of this church. And so maybe, just maybe, somebody, as your affections for Jesus are stirred this morning, you need to write down the word boldness, because God's already been sharing with you, already been prompting you to some action, and you just needed a reminder about that. Another thing that the Lord challenged us as Westerners were to learn to practice patience. In one of our team times before we left, we were out in Building B, and we were just gathered praying for each other and just preparing our hearts for the trip. And the Lord had given me the picture out of Luke 12 where Jesus is talking to some people, and he said, you know what? The Father has chosen gladly to give to you the kingdom of God. It's already been given to you. And just had shared with the team that I think that means that we're going to need to be prepared just to actually go out and practice some things, actually go out and do them, not just talk about them, not just be trained in them, but actually go out and do those things. And so each and every day we'd have to get up and get into some form of transportation. This just to give you the full picture, if you know what an El Camino is here in the States, you know, like a car that is a truck, but then chop off the side wings of the back and put a camper on top of it. Okay? And that's what this is. And we would cram as many people as we could into there and just kind of just follow wherever this guy would take us, because we were going to the other side of town. And if you've ever been on a mission trip like that, you know you got to practice patience. because you're either going to wait outside the vehicle for a long time for somebody to come pick you up, or you're going to be in public transportation that's going to take you all over the place. We had to learn to practice patience. Felt like as we were just, so I was thinking about you guys and coming around that I promise you I'll get back to it, that Acts chapter 19, that maybe this morning some of you, all of us, as Jesus stirs our affections, we just might need to write down the word patience. That means something to you. And God uses it as he uses your life on display to people, as we're people of patience. Another thing about the trip that I wanted to share with you is Jesus really is a healer. We don't see it often enough in the States. I'm sad. It makes my heart sad that we hear a lot of stories outside the States about it. But our team on this particular day, a part of our team on this particular day, got to go to a Hindu temple. And at this particular Hindu temple were these healing pools. And people would just wade into them. If you're a Hindu believer and you if you were a Hindu, and you needed some type of healing, you might just go to this place and just wade into the water. And on this particular day, our team got to go to this place and just pray over this place. And then that particular team got to pray later on in the day for a guy who had some back pain. He'd had the back pain for several years. One person prayed. Two people prayed. Remember I told you about my youngest daughter who didn't feel like she heard from the Lord a lot? Well, she also didn't like praying out loud a lot. But the team leader didn't know that. He just points at her and says, "Hey, you pray." And so she prays, and at the end of that prayer, this guy goes, I feel better. I can feel something going through my veins. I feel better. And he just began to tell them how better he felt. And, you know, I know that challenges some of us, but Jesus is a healer. He does. He wants to continue doing that work. And so this morning, thank you, this morning, allow Jesus to stir your affections for him. And maybe you need to write down the word healer. Somebody in your family, maybe you have been struggling for something, struggling with some element of health, and you just need to believe once again that he is a healer. If you're keeping track, that was number 8, so I got a few more. But I wanted to pause here and I say, I know that some people in the room, you're just wondering, Chris, I don't know if I can do that. I don't know if I can walk into my workplace where I know somebody's been sick and God's put them on my heart for a while, or my neighbor or somebody in my family. I don't know if I can do that. I don't know if I could be bold enough to pray. Well, let me share this story with you. This is Lex and Caleb Hanna, and the member of the long-term team that was there. Can't show you their pictures, but they got to travel up into the north area of the place that we were. And some of the other things that we would do is if somebody needed help, we just help them out. And there's a guy in this cluster of three pictures right here that he's getting married. And so they were moving some of the things around in this place. People from all over the village had gathered to prepare for the wedding on that day. And so they're moving some things around, and they're moving this pile of brush from one location to another. As they're moving this, Lex and Caleb and the guy that's getting married, as they're moving this, he gets stung by a scorpion on his right ring finger. In this culture, that's where you put your wedding ring. It immediately starts to swell up, and he's trying to work hard, trying to prepare for the wedding, so he keeps working. About 5 minutes later, he faints. Pain is so bad, he faints. And so Lex and these guys, they gather around him, and they just begin to pray. But not just pray. Pray in the power of the name of Jesus. That's what these guys need to know. That's what your family needs to know. That's what your coworkers need to know. You need to hear us pray in the power of the name of Jesus. And so they started praying in the power of the name of Jesus. And Lex couldn't be here today, because he'd tell you the story. He said, "Hey, if he were here, he'd tell you, I saw with my own eyes the swelling in this guy's hand shrink back down." Yeah, and that was awesome. But what was even better is that the guy's getting married on the very next day, and so we get a text report back that story is told at his wedding, as cousins from all over the north would that area, that village, would gather back for that particular wedding. And as people would hear that story, they wouldn't just hear a story of a white person that prayed over somebody. They would hear a story of somebody praying in the name of Jesus over somebody. And so as you allow your affections for Jesus to be stirred this morning, maybe somebody needs to write down the word authority, because maybe you're shrinking back. Maybe God has put a prayer of faith for healing over somebody, but you're just like, I don't know if I could. And God wants you to know this morning that he is a God of authority. And as you listen to his voice, don't shrink back. A couple more and we'll be done. You can't see it. It's in the distance there. Maybe you can see it. The country was beautiful, but that's not why I wanted to show you this picture. There was a volcano in the distance. And I want you to keep in mind that I'm leading a trip of mostly teenagers. And quite frankly, about half of them, no, more than half of them were teenage girls or college or young ladies. And so on our way there, I get this email that volcano in the distance is beginning to erupt. And there's ash floating everywhere. And so it may mean that we're going to have to land in somewhere, somewhere else, in some other country. And, you know, oh, by the way, this email's telling me, and just do your best to try to get where you're supposed to get. And I'm like, well, thank you. That's not real helpful to a guy who's leading a trip of mostly teenagers. And, oh, by the way, their parents want to know they're safe 24 hours a day. That's okay. And so we're just beginning to process what we might do if we get directed somewhere else. Well, the winds changed, and we were able to land safely, and that's all good. But that's not what surprised me. What surprised me is when we got to our destination and we gathered with other members of our team and other locals there, the prayers that were being prayed by the locals were, God, would you shake this land loose from the grips of Islam, from the grips of Hinduism, like the volcano. Every day we see the volcano, God, would you shake this land loose? And I'm like, I thought we were supposed to be praying for safety. I don't want ash, you know. I've seen the news reports of Hawaii. I don't want that here. But that's not what the people of the church in this land were praying. They were praying, God, shake our country loose. And it just reminded me of how God works. And his works and his ways are mysterious to us. And so this morning, if you allow your affections for Jesus to be stirred by these stories, maybe you need to write down just this phrase, awe for God. Because if you lose your awe for God, it makes sense that you won't be passionately in love for him, with him. It makes sense it'll be difficult to obey him. And maybe you need to look at the landscape of your life, the volcano that's erupting in your life, and see it differently today. This picture is one of my favorites. We learned, like I told you, to eat whatever was set before us, but we also learned to be served by some of the people that this world would consider the last and the least. Right? During free time on one of our days, I'd heard about this coffee that is made. You guys gotta walk with me here. It's made by it's made from the excrement of an animal. So this animal eats the coffee beans, it poops something out, at least I follow it right, and then they make the coffee from whatever it is out of it. They obviously purify it and that kind of stuff, but I'm a youth pastor, and I'm thinking, dude, I gotta have some of this coffee, because I'm gonna tell that story to a bunch of teenagers about drinking poop coffee. And so I find this store where this guy is at, And I'm looking at the menu, and I'm seeing the prices for this coffee. And keep in mind, the exchange rate for dollars to rupees is just out of sight. I mean, it means that this cup of coffee is going to cost me like less than a dollar if I have it made in this way. And I'm only thinking with this Western mindset, I got to get the cheapest deal here. But he's trying to sell me on this other way, this way that you see that's demonstrated there. If you can see it in the bottom, it's these bubbles things. And he takes like this Bunsen burner, and he lights the water and all these things. It takes about 15 minutes to make this cup of coffee. But I'm thinking, I want the cheaper cup of coffee. And guys, I kid you not, right at the last second, as I'm pointing to the cheaper way, I just felt like the Lord said, no, choose the other way, Chris. So I choose the other way, and his face immediately lights up. He goes back and he gets all this stuff and he brings it to the table. And like I said, it's this 15-minute process, and he's working really hard, and I'm trying to engage him with the limited language that I know and Google Translate and all this other stuff. But I couldn't help in that moment. Think about Philippians chapter 2, where Paul reminds us, do nothing out of selfish ambition or empty pride, but rather in humility, consider others better than yourselves. I didn't get to close the deal with this guy. I didn't even get to pray for him. He was at work, and it was difficult. But what I do know is that no one's prayed for, I believe, no one's prayed for this guy the way that I'm praying for him. I have a picture, and I look at his face. And maybe, just maybe, the Lord wants to bring some people in your life. They don't have to be so far away on the other side of the earth. Maybe they're right here. Maybe they're in your workplace. Maybe they're on your neighborhood. Maybe they're on the other side of San Antonio. But they're people that the world considers the last and the least. And God wants you to speak boldly through a life of humility and just walk into their lives and maybe even let them serve you. And so allowing Jesus to stir your affections this morning, you might need to write down the word humility. Almost done, promise. This is a Hindu temple, and Amory and I got to walk through. Our assignment on this day was just to pray over this place. We couldn't go in there, couldn't preach, couldn't stand up and talk to people the way that I'm talking to you. So I know I'm not going to share the gospel in that way, and I know that most of the people, if not all the people in this particular on this particular day that I would encounter, they don't speak English. And so I walk into this, Amory and I walk into this Hindu temple, and all along the way, there are these idols that you can see that are up on the pillars. And all along the way, there are these little bowls. And it looks like there's maybe some fruit in there. I've not gotten close enough to see if it's fruit or if it's all flowers, but there's some fruit and flowers and some incense. And there are people just coming into this place, and really all over the city that we were in, they would just leave them in different places, these sacrifices. I've been on probably 50 mission trips like this, and I've been in a ton of places of where people worship foreign gods, but I've never been in a place where active sacrifices were being given. And I tell you, it was both, I think, demonically oppressive and this feeling of immense joy at the same time, that I would know what it feels like to experience a God who loves me for free. I don't have to daily bring a sacrifice of flowers to him to appease his anger or to hope to get his best for my life. And I couldn't share the gospel with these people. All I could do was just walk up and down the pavement there and just begin to pray and just begin to worship. And there's that song from Elevation Church, "Lord, just do it again." And so I just start putting my hands in the air, just walking up and down this place saying, "Lord, would you do it again?" And just thinking about you guys actually and our home church and reading through the book of Acts. And the God that we read about on these pages, and just asking him, "God, I know you are that God. So would you do it again in this place?" Just felt like somebody today needed to hear, reset the playlist of your life. And make it look more like worship, pray, and repeat. Worship, pray, and repeat. If you're feeling far from God today, stale in your relationship with him, or you need him to do something again, make the playlist of your life worship, pray, and repeat. If you need Jesus to stir the affections of your heart for him this morning, make a commitment to pursue him through worship. Spend time listening to his voice. As you can imagine, things with students and teenagers aren't always serious. This is one of our teams. They made a rap song. So that's their album artwork. That's what they call it, right? But I wanted to show you that picture because some of us just need to learn to have fun with Jesus. Go on an adventure with Jesus. I was in Freedom Prayer a couple of months ago, and that's one of the things that one of the guys said back to me, you know, "Hey, Chris, when was the last time you just woke up and asked the Lord what he wanted you to do today?" You see, maybe we get so solidified into our routines that we don't know how to write a rap song for Jesus. And we would learn if we couldn't engage people, that means if we couldn't share, we couldn't ask them to share their story, and if we couldn't share our story, if we couldn't pray for one of their needs, we just walk along the city streets and just pray over houses, right? If we couldn't talk to somebody, then we're gonna walk the streets and pray. And they wrote this rap song that would help them because they're kids and they get distracted easily. And this morning, I just wonder if there's anybody in the room they need some joy returned to your Christian life. But you aren't finding much in that relationship with him. And so as you allow Jesus to stir your affections, somebody in the room might need to write the word down, fun. Two more and we're done. So you don't know this, but I'm famous in the land that we're from, or the land that we visited. Because Amory and I got to go on this particular day, our assignment was to go pray at the largest mosque that's in that region. And we got to go, and most of the people that we knew of, most of the Westerners, the non-Muslims that got to go to the top of this place, they had to wear this thing that looked like a burlap sack. But on the day that Amory and I show up, this family right here, not only did they want to take a ton of pictures with me, like that guy, I don't know if you can see the dad right there in the H shirt, he's got a picture on his phone, a real awkward picture of he and I. He just walks up to me and he lays his head on his on my chest and he gives his wife the phone and they take a picture. I'm like, well, I guess that's what you do in this particular country. But I can show you their picture because they were all in with me taking that selfie. I cropped myself out so I could fit that other picture in there. But Amber and I went to the top We just walked around and we just began to just pray over the city. You can see the amazing view of the city. That's the ocean way there, way, way far there in the background. But a lot like changing our stereotypes and our Western mindsets, we gotta learn to overcome being paralyzed by fear. Because man, I'm telling you, this place, its size is daunting. That's how big this mosque is. And if you only process these people who God loves just as much as he loves you and just as much as he loves me, if you only process that with Fox News, CNN, and our Western American mindset, you will be paralyzed by fear. And you will never, ever be able to wade into a conversation and be used by God to change the destiny of somebody who is going to split hell wide open unless you take an opportunity to share the love of Jesus with them. God wants to include you in that. So fear may have to be, somebody that's holding on to fear, you may have to release that grip today. So as God stirs your affections, be open to that. We came home to David Ray Wright. That's a picture as we just were walking down the escalator at the San Antonio International Airport. David Ray and I are in the same life group, and his daughter was on the trip, and he knew we were tired of rice and noodles. So he got some of God's best Chick-fil-A right there. And I was told that little bar there was on like the other side of the airport. And just because he's David Ray, I guess he just decided he was going to move it. And he moves it all the way over there. All the way over to the escalator, excuse me, and sets up that little tray and greets us as we come home. And I need you to hear as we close that you don't have to go all the way to the other side of the world. Let Jesus stir your affections this morning by knowing that you can serve and love him right where you're at, on your street, in your workplace. When your children's teams gather together, you probably spend a countless number of hours sitting on a bleacher next to somebody who doesn't know Jesus. I was stunned at the thought of how many people I passed today who will never ever come into a church building. But I'm in Starbucks with them an awful lot. And so as you allow Jesus to stir your affections for him today, maybe you need to write down the phrase, serve where you're at. In this country that is known for a mosque on every corner, everywhere we went, we'd see one. I can remember seeing and thinking, you know what, God? It doesn't look like there's a lot of hope for you in this place. Everywhere we went, you'd hear the call to prayer, you'd see a mosque. You know, I think I looked it up. There's over 3,000 in this one region alone. It's just incredible. And I just remember the conviction of the Lord that fell on me one morning. I was up just spending some time with him in the Word and just looking out and hearing that prayer call and thinking, or hearing God, not thinking, but hearing God say to me, Chris, never ever forget, this is my kingdom, not yours. It's my kingdom, not yours. And that means, Chris, that if I want to do the unthinkable in this place, in and through people who I just called to walk and pray and share their story and pray for people's needs, if I want to do that here, then if that's the way I want to change this place, then that's the way I'm going to do it. It's my kingdom, not yours, Chris. And so this morning, as we close, as you just kind of wrap your brain around letting your affections be stirred by Jesus, maybe you just needed that reminder. It's his kingdom. You're a child that lives in that. And he has complete authority. So trust him. I'm going to need you to believe that. As I share the final story, I think it's going to switch. There's no picture for it. You'll understand why. I returned one day to just a buzz in the room where we were at, where we were serving, where we were gathering to hear stories. And God had used one of our teams to start talking and engaging this guy who, by his own words, remember I said there's some stories that will stretch you, get ready. By his own words, he said he died when he was in middle school. He drowned to death. And he was so convinced of his death and remembers being in a coffin as his family would prepare him for burial. And like, I'm kidding you not, it's kind of funny, we all laugh. He like knocks and gets out. And I'm thinking, oh, he's got to be remembering some dream or some version of that. Then he gets better when he begins to tell us from that day until this day, he's been having these visions. Not every day, but every so often he had this vision of a man in white. And he'd be standing in front of this dark door. And behind it was all things evil and fear and doubt. And he would express it in different ways. And on this other door was light. And behind it was a tree of life. And a sound of rushing waters. And we're like, do you know what that is? And he's like, no, would you please explain it to me? Or not me, but our team was like, do you know? And they take him to Revelation chapter 1 and 2 and begin to read it to him. Does that sound like the vision you've been having? And he's like, yes, it sounds exactly like the vision that I've been having, or that he'd been having. And so they began to share with him more about Jesus. And they downloaded this thing called the Discovery Bible app and the different stories that he could hear and learn about Jesus. And they encouraged him to go back home that night and cry out to Jesus for more explanation. He agreed to do that and he goes back to his home. And we know later because of the story that he does do that, because we got a text the next morning that the team leader, the local person, got a text saying that this guy, or got a text from him. And he was saying, you know what? I know it's Jesus. And I want to know more about Jesus. And I know you guys are part of his chosen people. And so there's this person of peace. And a part of his story was he stopped telling the story to people because nobody would believe him. But some strange looking white people showed up on the landscape of his life and gave him an ear. And yes, it's hard to believe. Yes, there's some things about the physical part of the story and the theological part of the story that if I try to wrap my brain around, they go, I don't know. But all I know is that this guy is walking in a way and that probably within the next number of days, he'll give his heart to Jesus. And it was plain before us. I mean, come on. Rushing waters, tree of life. So as I was reading with you in Acts chapter 19 this week, I just stopped in my track when I came across that verse 15. When I ask you to note. Because trust me, I'm with you when you start to process, like I said, the parts of the story that don't seem to add up physically or theologically, but I just want you to know here's where I've landed. I don't want my intellectualism or my theology to be the version of an evil spirit saying back to me, Chris, Jesus I know, Paul I recognize, but who are you? I'm not saying that all of us are encountering evil spirits, but I just want you to realize that intellectualism and theology, they're great, but they also can be a burden to understanding that our God is a powerful God and he moves in powerful ways. We see it all throughout the Bible. There's not one text that you can find that said he desires to stop doing that. How about you? I don't want those things to keep me from experiencing the power of Jesus working in somebody's life, whether that's in Southeast Asia or here in San Antonio. And so I just want to ask you this morning, what might be keeping you from trusting the promise that nothing can stop God's purpose in your life? What might be screaming back at you? Jesus, I know, Paul, I know, but who are you? What doubts are creeping up? And so I just want to encourage you, as the team begins to lead us, we'll just linger for a few minutes. And if there's something heavy on your heart today, would you walk in immediate obedience and maybe ask the person next to you to pray for you? Or our prayer team will be out around the room and life group leaders around the room. And maybe your first step of obedience needs to just be to ask somebody to pray for you. If you're facing some challenge, something so big that you know that Jesus is your only hope. If he doesn't show up, failure is imminent. Man, I pray that you don't, that you just take that small step of obedience and trust the Lord. That you grab a hold of one of those words that were spoken over you today, and you'd say, Jesus, I'm running after that with you and with these people. If you're trusting him for more, it doesn't have to be a bad thing. If you're trusting him for more in your family, more in your workplace, then come ask somebody to pray over you. Speak that word. Say, hey, this is where I landed today. I need to trust him more. Whatever it was that the Holy Spirit was speaking to you, speak that to the person that's gonna pray for you. And y'all come around that together. If you're trusting the Lord for a healing today, if you've been struggling with something in your family, I just want to invite you to come. We're just going to trust Jesus together. So would you just kind of close your eyes? Or would you stand to your feet and just close your eyes? Let's just step into all that God has for us. God, I thank you that you are the God that's the same yesterday, today, and forever. There's no biblical proof texting that we can do, that no exegesis that we can spend time doing that will show us that you're not the God of Acts, that you're not the God who wants to move and display his power. So I'm just counting on you as your son. I'm just counting on you that you would take these 15 things and you just wrap them up with the bow that only the Holy Spirit can tie and help it apply it to our lives. Help our affections for Jesus to be stirred so we leave this place more in love with you. God, I pray, I ask by the power of the name of Jesus that you wouldn't release anybody from this holy moment right now that's struggling with something, that doesn't know you, that's been dealing with some pain or some hurt. You'd create a moment where they just run. Not run to a human being answer, but run to people who were going to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to move. Jesus, we give you these moments. Have your way. In Jesus' name I pray.